We're doing the Chazon Ish, Emunah U'Bitachon. We're up to the third chapter, the ninth section, and we stopped in the middle. The Chazon Ish had quoted from a letter that when it comes to prohibitions of kosher food, if the rabbi tells you that the food's not kosher, people don't have an issue. But if suddenly someone tells you that you lost a court case, or if a person has an issue where he himself has to have extra diligence not to cheat his friend or his neighbor, there suddenly even God-fearing people are not as careful as they are with regards to other prohibitions. And he says the way to fix this is by learning the details of these halachot. As you learn the details, and you learn and connect with the details you're learning, so that trains a person's thoughts to be more careful not to inflict harm or to take things that he has no right to. So that was a quote. He named Vual Bidvarav Zal, what we see from what his words, Ki bishtadlut klalit bikinyanei ha'ira lo matza adayin et ha'ikar. If a person only works to attain a level of God-fearingness in a general way, he's still not going to get it. He's still going to be missing a fundamental point in his soul. If you don't really work hard to learn the details in Chosh and Mishpat, then you don't get it. And even if you learned it quickly, and you learned it on the surface level, you still don't acquire that love of the law, that connection to be dedicated to do it right. And ever since we learned this, I've been noticing this myself. I mentioned last time the law of blowing the trumpet six times on Friday afternoon. It's a siman which you think there isn't too much to talk about, right? You blow the trumpet six times Friday afternoon to denote that Shabbos is approaching and that people have to stop working.
Is that what that really loud sound is?
It's a commemoration of what was. So then I spent an afternoon studying those halachot, and suddenly I got a huge appreciation for the details of the preparation and what has to stop Friday afternoon. That I'm really not supposed to be walking with my cell phone to shul wishing my parents a good Shabbos, even though the time difference makes it so it's difficult to call at a time that's convenient to them. Got to find another solution. Chazal wanted us to end our tasks at a certain time before Shabbos. Don't go hitting the wire, even though I'm at shul on time, I'm standing out the door, it's the last 5 minutes before shul. Chazal wanted you to put an end to your work earlier in the day.
By work, are you saying melachot?
In general, finish. Shut the cell phone, shut the computer, get it done earlier. Find another way to do it. I'm just saying.
Keeping the halacha of Shabbat earlier.
Right. I'm saying I never had that appreciation until I sat and worked on the details of what would seem to be a simple halacha. Today I said over a halakha which I've learned numerous times. I thought it was simple. It's called the fast of Tanis Esther, right? Simple. Three short halachot in Shulchan Aruch. Seems very simple. I reviewed it again today, and suddenly I saw I don't understand anything. I looked at the details, and I don't get what I'm talking about. I don't know why we fast. I don't know why it's called Tanis Esther. I used to think I knew. I used to think I knew what it says in a response Rashi wrote, quoted in the Shibboleth Aleket. I thought I understood a response by the Chasam Sofer, but after reanalyzing it today, I sat on it for 4 hours and came to a conclusion. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But having learned it with greater detail, at least now I understand what I don't understand, and I definitely have a far greater connection to Tanis Esther than I did a day ago, or a month ago, or a year ago. So he's talking about taking a broader subject, investing more time in it. But even smaller subjects, like Tanis Esther, which is all of really three short halachos in Shulchan Aruch, right? It's not even a page in Shulchan Aruch. But if you sit down and you look closely, you suddenly see there's a lot of background, details, etc., and you start having an appreciation and a connection to the halacha. So you're very curious, Yehuda, what did I find so much in Tanis Esther?
She instituted it.
Aha. Uh-huh. So one of the things I discovered is that that's not correct.
Oh, okay.
So I always knew that Rashi held that it wasn't correct. But today I realized that the Rambam also holds that it's not correct, as do many other commentaries. So Tanis Esther, even though we call it Tanis Esther, didn't even exist in the days of the Talmud, according to most commentaries. So it's only an institution, a rabbinic custom that was instituted in the Gaonic period. So again, I learned this over a decade ago. I reviewed it I don't know how many times. Today I actually took the time to focus. I was trying to understand certain specific points about the halacha. So I went through the whole thing again with detail. And okay, now I suddenly had an appreciation for details I didn't have in the past. A different level of connection. Yes?
You say Tanit Esther, do you mean the fast we have nowadays? Or the
correct. Okay. Talking about what we do today. What we do today is a custom that we're not allowed to stop. I mean, that's our custom. Everyone has to do it unless someone's sick or something. But it's a custom that really began after the Talmud. So it's after the Second Temple, long after Esther. Why we do it? It's another question. I'm just saying, you start analyzing again, you see a whole new angle. והלימוד ביון בהלכה לרדת להלכה ברורה בכל הסעיפים המסתעפים, learning halacha in depth, to the point where you get clarity with all the different details, הוא לימוד של שנים רבות, it takes many years, because he's talking about covering ground, not learning one halacha of Tanis Esther, he's talking about learning all the halachot, בשקידה נמרצה, it requires true diligence, כי הסתגלות העיון הזה הוא תכלית ידיעת התורה שהפליגו חזל, This type of learning is the essence of the knowing of Torah that our sages spoke so highly of. You can't do that in passing. You can't do that without working really hard. Our sages say there are 48 tools to acquire Torah. V'kulam yitziyah migidrei teva v'rgel ha'ishiyut l'ikanes b'darkei ha'shlemut. All 48 tools you need to acquire Torah are ways in which a person grows beyond his base animalistic nature. There are the habits we have. What's one of our habits? Let's take one of Kinyanei Torah. There are 48 Kinyanei Torah. Do you guys know what the 48 Kinyanei Torah are? 48 tools to acquire Torah.
Simcha, for example, it's in Parki Avot, chapter 6.
Right. Maybe we should have a class on that.
We're going to get there with Rabbi Avot and Rabbi Yonah, I'm sure.
Here,
about 6 years.
I don't understand why there's 48. Why?
Okay.
I remember that one.
Okay.
Wait, what's that one?
So I'll read you quickly the 48, just because you guys really have to know them. Yeah, we should have a class in depth. Maybe.
One of them is from beginning to end.
I'll read you the 48, and I'll try to translate them real quickly, okay? Okay, Bit Talmud, who said learning? Okay, learning. Actually, it means learning in depth. B'shmiat ha'ozen, aside from learning in depth, you have to listen. B'arichat tzfatayim, you have to speak things out clearly. B'vinat ha'lev, it requires understanding. This word is like a little erased here. I think it's supposed to say b'sichlut ha'lev, taking time to think things through. Be'ema, with awe, be'ir'ah, being God-fearing person, be'anava, with humility, be'simcha, with happiness. Can't acquire Torah without happiness. Be'shimush chachamim, by learning, apprenticing by a sage. Be'diktuk chavirim, working with friends, where each one helps the other one realize what he's missing. Be'pilpul atalmidim, with students who will ask you sharp questions. Be'yishuv, with a sedated, focused, analytical approach. B'mikra, through Torah, b'mishnah, through Mishnah, b'miut schora, you have to minimize, you have to reduce the amount of business you do, b'miut sheina, you have to reduce the amount of sleep you get, b'miut tanug, you have to reduce the amount of amenities, b'miut schok, you have to reduce the amount of time you joke around, b'miut derech eretz, you have to reduce the amount of time you're with your wife, b'erech hapaim, you have to be patient, b'lev tov, with a good heart, Emunat Chachamim. This is where people get the misconception of Emunat Chachamim. We're going to have to maybe have a class or a series. What is Emunat Chachamim? Uve Kabbalat Yisurim. Person has to be willing to put up with the difficulties. Hamakiret Mikomo. You have to know your place. One of the hardest things in life. Know your place. Does anyone really know their place? You see it. It's on that ladder. Ve'hasameach b'chelko, to be happy with one's own lot. Va'oseh siyag ledvarav, one who makes fences in his life. He doesn't run the limit. You guys know the game chicken, right? That's not a way to acquire Torah, right? It might not be a way to acquire life either. Ve'no machzik tova le'atzmo, a person can't hold himself in favor. Wow, look at me, look at how good I am. Ahuv, a person has to be popular. People have to like him. That's one of the ways to grow in Torah. A person has to be likable. That's part of the growth process. Ohevet amakom, to love the omnipresent. Can't learn Torah and say, but I hate God. So you got to evolve. You see, it's a work in progress. Ohevet abriot.
Are these in chronological order?
That's an excellent question. Excellent. When we learn it in depth, we'll have to analyze that. Ohevet abriot, he who loves God's creatures. Ohevet atzdakot, he who loves either righteousness or charity. Ohevet atochachot, this is a hard one. He who loves rebuke. Does anyone love rebuke? Ohevet ameisharim, he who loves honesty. Mitrachek min hakavod, distances himself from honor. Lo megis libo batalmud, not to be arrogant in one's learning. Eino samech bo'ra'ah, not to be happy to give halachic ruling. Nose be'olim chavero. Here's one you guys probably have easy. He feels for his friend. When his friend is suffering, he carries with him his lot in life. Machria lekaf schut. When he sees things, he judges favorably. Ma'amido al ha'emet. He's not chicken to tell his friend when he's wrong. Ma'amido al ha'shalom. Etc. Okay. You guys want me to finish? Okay. To put him in his place of peace. Mityashev libo betalmudo. Yeah, after you've learned, you need time for the learning to settle in your heart. It's not enough to have learned it. Things evolve. A person should evolve with his learning. Shoel. A person has to know to ask. Meshiv. He has to know to answer. Shomea. He has to know to listen. Etc. Shomea umosif. He listens and knows how to add to what he's heard. Halomed al menat lelamed, he has to learn for the sake of teaching. Halomed al menat la'asot, he has to learn for the sake of performing, for doing it. Hamachkim et rabo, he has to be that student that makes the rabbi smarter by the end of the class. Vamchaven et shmuato, he has to be careful to get his quotes right. Most people don't do that. Vaomel davar b'shem omro, and he has to say things in the person's name when he's quoting him. Very often we're tempted to say something as though it's our epiphany, when really it's a quote. So that's those are the 48 tools. Who remembers all of them? Not me.
But if you okay. had to choose just one.
Huh? I didn't hear.
Imagine if you had to do them all.
So you had to choose just one.
Yeah. So the Chazon Ish says an interesting thing. He says, these 48 tools are all counterintuitive. You have to get into the habit. They don't come naturally. You get your personality into the habit of behaving this way. You form the habit of becoming a more whole person. And what happens is, one's nature shouldn't get in his way of being diligent and focused in his learning. What usually happens when you walk into Beis Medrash? About five things happen when you walk into Beis Medrash. You remember the thing you really had to do outside the Beis Medrash. You remember you have to go relieve yourself in the restroom. you yawn and realize you're super tired, you can really use a cup of coffee or a drink, and you ask yourself, who do I have to answer on my cell phone? I have that SMS I have to do. Those are about the five things that happens when, as you walk into Beis Medrash and are about to start learning. Right? If you weren't in Beis Medrash, you wouldn't have to go to the facilities. You wouldn't be thinking about your cell phone necessarily. You'd be focused on something else. And you weren't so thirsty. But now that you come to sit down and learn, suddenly a bunch of things come to mind. So if a person wants to be focused, he has to use these tools. As he uses these tools, he develops a nature that works with the learning, that's supportive of the learning. And then, a person doesn't waste time with unnecessary sleep. He can be focused and excited about what he's doing. And the key here is to be excited. A friend of mine told me this past Shabbos that he works in computers, and they were doing construction in his house. So he was sitting working. And every day, the workers come in, and they're banging and working away. And then one time, he's sitting there working, and one of the workers walks up behind him and says, "Can I ask you something?" And he was so focused on that, he didn't even realize someone else was in the room. He jumped up, and the guy goes, I just got to ask you, how do you do it? We're here already a few weeks, and you're sitting here working. How do you do that with all the noise in the background? We're taking apart walls. We're drilling. How do you do it?" So the guy said, "Well, I'm focused on my work. I don't even know what you're doing there. I don't hear it. I'm not there. I'm here. I'm so focused. I don't even know what's going on." And then he said to me, "You know, but I was in yeshiva. And when I was in yeshiva, as I'm looking at the Gemara, I knew everything that was going on all around me. I wish I could have that focus as I was learning." So that's when he says here, you won't need as much sleep. That's if you can get excited about what you're doing, if you can connect to what you're doing, which takes time. It doesn't happen the first day. It can take about a decade or two. Rav Nevenzahl said it took him 2 decades to get there. It's not like learning is necessarily fun the first few years. Learning the written law, yeah, that's enjoyable. You read the stories of Tanakh, that's great. Then you come to the oral law, and you can't make heads or tails of what's going on. It's very difficult. It takes a long time till it starts becoming pleasurable. But okay, that's part of the appreciation one should have for what he's doing. What I did when I started learning was I wrote myself a letter. I'd review every so often, telling myself, like, why am I doing this? Why is this important? Where do I want to get to?